Oh, nice. I hear that game is the best.
It sucks, man. It's not that good. All right, let's do a podcast.
Welcome back to the Relatively Speaking Podcast. We are recording on Friday. It is May 26th. I almost forgot what month it is. I'm your co-host, Jared Mintz, and joining me on this dreary morning yet again, when will the rain go away, is my my co-host, Joseph Nardone. Joe, you got any big plans for the weekend?
I'm not your partner in crime anymore. I'm just your co-host now.
I try to think of different things to say. I feel like it gets old. I feel like I can't say the same thing every week, every show. I mean, I feel like you make fun of me when I call you my partner in anything, so I'm kind of trying to drop that, but you'll always be my partner.
But that's part of our gimmick, as is me saying, like, you know, I had the best weekend. You could ask anybody. Like, it's part of our gimmick. It's really disappointing when you don't do it. Like, our gimmick, our first 5 minutes of every podcast is about the same.
Yeah, literally. I mean, I think we should do a study and run them back and just listen to them and see how similar all of them are. So anyway, my partner in rhyme, Joseph Nardone. Joe, you got any big plans for the weekend?
Well, big plans, yes. They're not fun plans. So, like, you know, when that blizzard happened, it crushed my garage in half. So I got two dumpsters, and I will be taking down my garage this weekend.
Wow, that sounds like misery. Do you have anybody helping you, or the girls helping?
No, well, yeah, my 8 and 5-year-old are going to be a big help taking down a garage. Actually, no, the truth is I hired a guy to come down and take it down. But I, like, since we got two dumpsters, I'm gonna be, you know, going through the house and getting everything that, like, doesn't belong anymore and throw it away in dumpsters.
Might as well, man. You might as well take advantage of those dumpsters.
Dumpsters are not cheap. Dumpsters are not cheap.
How much does a dumpster cost?
All right, the 40-ton dumpster was $600 for the week, and the 30-ton dumpster was like $395.
Oh my gosh.
We split the 30-ton with the neighbor because he wanted something as well. So it's not like I'm footing the entire dumpster bill. I'm splitting the 30-ton dumpster with a neighbor.
Godspeed to you guys. Well, good luck.
Interesting start to the podcast, Joe's dumpster story.
Yeah, it is. What else can you do in a dumpster? Maybe you guys, like, fill it with, like, water and pretend it's a swimming pool before it gets dirty, of course.
Well, it was kind of dirty upon drop-off. And I have a pool.
They didn't give you a clean dumpster?
Well, like, it wasn't, like, hosed out. Like, it's been used, so, like, there's some grime on the bottom.
That's got to be a bottom five job, being a dumpster cleaner.
I don't think they actually clean it. They probably just power wash it real quick and just get the super big sludge out of there and then just ship it out the next place.
I'm not saying they go in with a toothbrush, you know? Like, I don't think they do that, but you're still in a dumpster cleaning it, you know what I mean? Like, it's a dumpster. It's not this small thing. It's not a little barrel that, you know, you could just take a hose to.
I think bottom five jobs are, like, people that could kill somebody or get killed. Somebody in the sewer, being Donald Trump's wife.
I feel like everything you said is the same right now. But, I digress. Joe, let's move on. We've been dilly-dallying. We got a lot to get into. If you listen to Monday's show, you know I had a heart attack because LeBron James had a bad game. Well, I woke up in a world where LeBron James is playing in his 7th consecutive finals this morning. The Cavs just completely dismantled the Celtics last night. LeBron had a triple-double for the most part at the half. He passes Michael Jordan as the all-time scoring leader in NBA playoff history. Joe, is LeBron back?
LeBron never went away. He just had one bad game. And that was my stance on Monday, and I continue that. Somebody literally just tweeted out, they asked the GM about LeBron, and he said LeBron already passed Jordan. He's starting to separate himself. So, like, we're still in this hyperbolic realm of LeBron is great. So those people that use one game to turn a switch on that, I'm sorry. It was a good 24-hour run, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's really all it was, because people said he had a bad game in game four, and he started dropping 34 points with 6 assists, 5 rebounds, shooting well to 50% from the field, and that was considered another downish game for him. The funny thing with LeBron having bad games, with air quotes, is that, you know, it's never a bad game by anybody else's standards, and I think, you know, we kind of watch the Cavs play, and we watch Kevin Love do so well, and Kyrie Irving's just been on fire these last few games, and you see someone else kind of step up with LeBron stepping down, and it's something's wrong with LeBron. LeBron's having a bad game, and it's just, we need something to say about LeBron constantly. I mean, no one gets people talking like LeBron does, and yeah, Monday was a good example of that. So I just want to say that I hedged every possible way that I could on Monday.
You did hedge a lot.
Out too much.
I remember calling you out for not. I remember calling you out for being like, could you have an actual take?
No, I mean, my take was that I was worried. I didn't like what I saw, but I also wasn't worried that this was LeBron for good. Or
did
that
you
this
do
was,
by you know, Richard, Richard Jefferson's thing saying he was sick?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, like, what was he sick with that he looked like he didn't give a shit about playing basketball? You know what I mean? Like, what sickness is that? How do you get that sickness?
The disrespectfulness-nitis of the Celtics. He just didn't get... My theory is just that, like, he just disrespects the Celtics and knew they were better and just decided not to show up that game.
Yeah, it was something like that, and I don't really want to talk about this that much more. Like, I definitely don't want to talk about this for a second straight show. Just, it was ridiculous to react like that, but again, there always has to be a LeBron take, and it's either going to be, you know, ice cold or smoking hot. So that's LeBron. That's the LeBron world we live in. But again, he's just been ridiculous. He scored almost 70 points over these last two games to help get Cleveland back to the finals. Last night, LeBron goes 13 of 18 from the field, making his threes, 4 of 7 as well. I mean, yeah, the guy, LeBron is good, and I feel okay about that take.
Didn't he pass Jordan on the all-time playoff scoring list?
He did. I mentioned that in my my opening on Cleveland. He passed Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I had to say it again, because you're so monotone. People are just not listening to you.
Ooh, Joe, calling me out. So I told Joe before we recorded, I'm actually, I'm on vacation right now, and I am in a house full of sleeping people for the most part. I'm recording outside, so I'm really trying not to yell too much. I apologize to the listeners if it makes me look like LeBron in Game 3, like I'm disinterested. I promise I'm not. I promise I'm not sick, and I promise I'll have a great game next time.
We just know our listeners hold you to a very high standard, and they're not going to use you outside of a lake house as an excuse.
It's understandable. I mean, I'm a hot-button topic, and, you know, whenever they talk about Jared Mintz's podcasting skills, it's always, you know, either he's great or he sucks, and there's no in-between, so it's a tough cross to bear.
What would you say right now? Are you, like, 5-for-9 from the field? Are you 3-for-18? Like, what's your box score looking like right now, if you're grading yourself?
I feel like I'm probably, like, 3-for-6. Like, I'm still shooting efficiently, but I'm just not looking to take a lot of shots.
So you have a couple assists?
Yeah, I'm 3-for-6. All my made baskets are around the hoop. I missed a couple bomb threes. I probably don't have any assists. Like, no assists, no turnovers. I'm passing the ball as soon as I get it if I'm not shooting.
Fair enough.
What does that make you?
I'm always over 20, but I get a ton of boards, a ton of offensive rebounds. But all I do is shoot bombs. You know what I mean? So I'm like the J.R. Smith of podcasts. I try every once in a while for, like, that heroic joke. But otherwise, I'm just, you know, just throwing out, like, as long as everybody's happy takes.
I'm here for the YOLO ball, so you keep doing that, man. Keep balling. More people are awake now in the house, so this might get interesting and exciting.
Ooh,
friend
yeah.
of the podcast, Jordan, is actually standing with me outside. He's a trooper. He likes to listen, so shout out to him. He's famous now. Got the Jared Mintz mentioned on a podcast. But, Joe, let's get back to that.
Is the serial killer there, the guy with two first names?
No, Matt Frank is not here. No serial killers in this household this weekend.
Thank goodness. I was worried about you. Shout out Matt Frank, you serial killer.
Matt is not a serial killer. He is a friend of the podcast. But, Joe, let's get back to basketball.
Sure.
Tell me about Kyrie Irving. I mean, this week, just with LeBron having the week he had, you know, hyperbolic chambers emerged, and Kyrie Irving all of a sudden is better than Scottie Pippen and Dwayne Wade all the time. I mean, there's got to be some middle ground of... Maybe Kyrie Irving isn't the top 10 player all time yet, but he is killing and he is looking better and better and moving, you know, higher up this imaginary ladder of NBA players by the game. What do you think of Kyrie's performance these last few nights?
First, the Pippen thing, like, you can't even compare the two because they're totally different players. Pippen was a little more well-rounded, defensive-orientated. Kyrie's...
That was a Peter Rosenberg.
No, I know, and Rosenberg was on the radio, and he kind of tried to... I don't know if he was trying to walk it back and explain his point more. He was just trying to say, like, Jordan never had, like, a dynamic, supposedly this is what he said he was meaning, never had, like, a dynamic offensive weapon next to him. And Pippen was never dynamic offensively. He was very good, but he wasn't, like, Kyrie Irving dynamic offensively. Kyrie can't play defense at all, Pippen could.
Correct.
But,
I think that is the accurate take, Joe.
Yes, that is the correct lukewarm, mild take. But, Kyrie's been great. I think the quotes when Kevin McNamara, whatever his name is, asked him about it eventually becoming his team, and him acknowledging that he kind of looks forward to it is a key thing. I brought this up to you, I believe, off air on Monday, that like I do think because it's LeBron, it takes away from how great Kevin Love and Kyrie's been. And yes, we kind of forget that those guys are really, like, Kevin Love, like, I don't want to turn the Kyrie question into Kevin Love, but, like, Kevin Love, like, last year was looked at as this, like, evil mistake that was overrated in accounting stats number guy over at Minnesota. Why did they get him? Maybe they should have kept Wiggins, blah, blah, blah. And now he's, and now he's totally in, he's found his role. He's more useful to LeBron than, I think, I guess this is a hot take, that Chris Bosh was at Miami. Is that a hot take?
Ooh, that is a hot take. But is it, I mean, have at it, man. Well, you're shooting bombs right now.
Yeah, I am. Here's my 0 for 20 spree. Yeah. So I think Kevin Love's been more useful to LeBron than Chris Bosh was at Miami. And then Kyrie Irving's just been, dude, he's a killer. Like, it's like when LeBron's just, if he's just being a little bit passive, Kyrie's just like, don't worry, I got you. And like, he's absurd offensively. Like, he's a, like, make it abundantly clear, he doesn't even care about playing defense at all. Like, he's as bad as those James Harden gifts, like we used to put on social media all the time. He's that bad of a defensive player, but offensively, he is, man, he is absurdly great, and he's efficient, and he, I don't know if I've seen, and this counts Allen Iverson, a guard be able to attack the rim, create contact, and score as well as Kyrie does.
Yeah, I mean, at least a guy like him, like a smaller guy, not like a Westbrook or a Harden.
Not somebody that's super athletic. Not that somebody's so crazy athletic that could go up. Because Kyrie's, like, athletic, but he's not like Russell Westbrook or Derrick Rose before his injury or anything like that.
And the way he finishes is ridiculous, too. I mean, he's a lefty, but he can finish with either hand. Yeah, Kyrie's incredibly skilled. And, I mean, I'm glad you brought up Kevin McNamara, which I think you meant Dave McMenamin.
But yeah, why did I make him Kevin McNamara? Who's Kevin McNamara?
I don't know. I like Kevin McNamara. It's a cool name. We should try to get him on the podcast. But some of the,
I think he's a Providence beat reporter, actually.
This guy. Only you listen out Providence beat reporters. But the Kyrie thing, there were a couple of interesting quotes this week. I think McNamara, Jesus, Joe. I think McMenamin actually asked him if he was ready to take over the team or something like that. I think that was what you actually just said. And his response was kind of like, you know, I don't know my place in terms of that. You know, LeBron, obviously, it's still his team. I just got to try and pick and choose my spots and find out, you know, when it's most necessary. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing, and he didn't say anything like that. But, you know, you can see it in his game that Kyrie chooses moments where he knows they need him to take over, where the offense is struggling, where he can, you know, just get them back into the game in bunches. I mean, coming out of the second out of halftime last night, Kyrie scored like 8 points in the first minute and a half or something of the second half. And the guy just, he fills up the buckets really quick. He does the opposite of putting poop in baskets. I mean, so there was that quote. And there was another quote about asking LeBron about Kyrie's performance, I want to say, in game four. And LeBron said, you know, the guy just elevates his game on the highest stages. As the situations get tougher and the games get more meaningful, this guy just plays better. And, I mean, we saw it happen in the finals last year. You can even go back 2 years ago, and I know Kyrie was hurt for the 2015 finals, but that first game, I mean, he was actually defending Steph Curry. He's making the big baskets, and it's amazing to watch this guy who, yeah, I don't know if he's, like, a top five point guard in the league, but he's incredibly clutch. He comes up big in big moments. I mean, he's a big-time playoff performer. And like you mentioned, he's one of the best offensive players in the league, which, given his size and the way he scores the basketball, I mean, he's a lot of fun to watch. And I agree with what you were saying, too, about, you know, let's prop up Kyrie, let's prop up LeBron, but let's not forget Kevin Love. Kevin Love was just out of control this series. He's always crushing Al Horford in every way possible, and he continued to do it in this series. And, you know, it's going to be really interesting watching the finals because Kevin Love almost gets neutralized as a defender when you have Kevin Durant and Draymond Green out there in the front court, you know, on another team. So it's going to be interesting to see what he could do and if his offense can really still keep him on the court or if they're going to have to be playing LeBron more at power forward. But I think we'll wait until Monday and next week to really get more into the finals. But before we get off the Cavs, Joe, do you give them any shot at winning the championship?
Oh, come on. We got to tease that for Monday. I'm not telling the audience yet. Do they have any chance? Of course they do. They have LeBron James.
I think that's the perfect answer, and I think that my stance has changed a little bit. You know, like you said, we're not going to give away too much right now, but I think earlier in the playoffs, if you would have asked me what I think is going to happen in the finals, I would have said Golden State in five, and I definitely don't feel that way anymore.
I'm with you. Real quick, one more thing on Kyrie and the Dave whatever his name is, Kevin McNamara.
Dave McMenamin.
So apparently Kobe Bryant is like Kyrie's mentor or something like that, and Kobe has urged him to not let ego get in the way like it did with him and Kobe and with Kobe and Shaq. And I think that's why Kyrie's been a little more level-headed with not being, because there was a time Ryan Russillo was on the radio Thursday saying he heard last year that they were willing to move Kyrie to fix what was supposedly broken at the time, and that Kyrie wasn't happy. And these were all things that he heard. And now that over the offseason, Kyrie somehow figured it out mentally and. Supposedly, these are all, like, nobody's saying it for sure. Kobe Bryant actually played a hand in this, being like, hey, don't ruin what you have. What's a great thing? Eventually be your time. Don't ruin this, like, title window you have.
Interesting.
I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, I wonder how many times Dion Waiters' name came up in that conversation, because Lord knows those two guys couldn't get along. And if you ruin it with Dion, I mean, you might ruin it with LeBron, too.
Well, seriously, Dion Waiters, go.
Shout out to Deion Waiters.
Is Deion Waiters funny. Poor man's J.R. Smith, or is he like rich man's Deion Waiters?
You know, I don't think so. J.R. was really good with the Knicks, you know, the year he won Sixth Man of the Year, and that was definitely peak J.R. I think Deion down the stretch this year was better than any iteration of J.R. we've ever seen.
Did you expect Deion's that to like, happen?
No.
Me neither. Like, the thing is, like, Deion Waiters clearly can play basketball. But, like, I almost feel like he'll, like, as soon as he gets, and, like, this is horrible, but, like, he was in a contract year, he had his best year. I feel like if you give him money, he's going to be a black hole. Like, he's just going to be the Deion Waiters we knew previous to the season.
Yeah, I think this year was a perfect storm for him, because I fully expected to be talking about Deion Waiters in this season right now. But I think being in Miami and, you know, just everything that team had going for them this year, kind of playing off of Dragic a little bit, I think situation really helped him. Look, if he comes back to Miami next year, I think he'll still be a ball player.
Well, Spoelstra's great.
What'd you say?
Spoelstra's great.
Yeah, I mean, Spoelstra's great. They were so interesting this year, just reading about their conditioning and how they just outran everybody and had more energy in the fourth quarter than everybody. That was all fun stuff, and Deion obviously got in the best shape of his career for it. I think he was a really great fit there. I do worry about what his future has. That said, I mean, maybe the Sixers throw him a lot of money and he's the wing scorer that they desperately need.
Ew.
And him and Joel Embiid get, you know, a spin-off buddy cop show or something.
He needs to play under a coach that, listen, I'm not going to put down Brett Brown, but, like, he needs to play under a dude that's going to be able to keep him in control.
Definitely. If Deion and Joel Embiid are in Lethal Weapon, which one is Riggs?
Both?
Are they both rigs?
Yeah, they're both rigs. Everybody else is Murtaugh. They're both rigs.
All right, we got to make that happen. That'd be way more interesting than whatever Fox or whoever has the Lethal Weapon show put together. Which I shouldn't say. I feel like they got a second season.
Didn't they cancel it? Because whatchamacallit die? Or is that a different show? Bill Paxton? Wasn't Bill Paxton in Lethal Weapon, the TV show?
I don't know.
Me neither. Let's pivot off this. We went from LeBron to Deion Waiters to Bill Paxton.
I mean, I understand why we did. The lines connect, clearly. But all right, Joe's right. We should move on. Next thing we wanted to talk about is an interesting topic kind of making the rounds, you know, around NBA conversations. Obviously, the NBA draft is only a few weeks away. This is a pretty loaded draft. There's a lot of really good players, and it feels like it's top-heavy. There's a lot of good players at the top of the draft. I do like a lot of the guys who are in the middle. I'm really hedging hard right now and not saying anything definitive. But one of the conversations that's emerged is the idea of NBA draft free agency. And I want to say it was Kevin Arnovitz who introduced it about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago. You know, the NBA playoffs had kind of taken a lull, and Arnovitz wrote a column about the idea of, instead of teams being able to draft players and the lottery determining order, what if every single, you know, upcoming rookie was a free agent and there was a negotiation period and there was a free agency period prior to, like, NBA free agency actually opening up? So the rookies wouldn't be part of, you know, regular free agency. They'd have their own free agency period. I want to say this idea was really brought up because the Celtics ended up winning the lottery and they might have, you know, the number one pick again next year, which you have two number one picks. You have Jaylen Brown. and you're a top three team in the East. I mean, how is that helping teams that are bad? I don't know how I feel about this idea of NBA draft free agency. Joe, where do you stand on it?
Like Natalie and Brulia, I'm torn. I love her, man. I had the hugest crush on her. If you're one of our not age ranged listeners, you should be a YouTuber and a Googler. I'm really torn because on the basis, I like it because I feel like the draft itself is outdated. Because not in any other profession than professional sports do potential employees not get to select their employer. So it kind of feels outdated in that sense, but I also get it. You're trying to have a balanced playing field, and they figured the only way they could do that is by getting the worst teams, the best players coming out of college. But man, it's tough because logistically, how do you do this? Like, I like the idea. I do love the idea. So like, we'll use Lonzo Ball as the example, right? Everybody knows he wants to go to the Lakers. So do the Lakers just get to sign him when this period starts? And then, like, what about teams like the Spurs? So, like, say you're, like, a good player, but you're, like, if the draft was happening, you're projected to go, like, I don't know. Like, you're Lauri Markkanen, right? How do you pronounce his last name? I'm horrible. Lauri
Markkanen.
Markkanen. All right. So, like, you're a player that could go anywhere from, like, 5 to 16. Because you're good, but people are confused. One of the best shooters. Like, so you're just the Spurs, and you could just sign him, and you're getting a lottery-level player. So, like, I think a lot of really good players would prefer not to go to dumpster fires. So I think you're going to have a perpetual dumpster fire situation in, like, Sacramento.
It's funny you say that, though, because I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I mean, obviously, it makes sense. Why would anybody, you know, paralleling this to real life, why would anybody want to go to a job where the culture stinks and, you know, the employers are bad and, you know, the employees stink, too? Why would you want to do that? At the same time, I mean, we hear about players who want to go to teams where they have an opportunity to play immediately. I mean, we're going to get to Lonzo Ball in a minute, but the news yesterday was that Lonzo's not working out for the Celtics, and part of the reasons, I mean, we know he really wants to go to the Lakers, but a reason we've heard connected to the Celtics and players not necessarily wanting to go there is they're going to have to wait to play. They're not going to necessarily go in and get their minutes and be able to play and develop and show what they're capable of. And I mean, granted, if they're signing contracts that are better than, I guess, you know, rookie contracts or whatever, I don't know how that would work. You know, maybe they don't mind as much. They'll go to a team and they'll sit on the bench for a little bit. But I could also see this turning into the type of thing where you get a Kings and the Kings need so much help and they need so many guys. And, you know, maybe Markel Fultz is talking to, you know, Jason Tatum. And it's like, why don't we both sign here and we'll play our entire careers here? There's plenty of playing time for us right now. You know, we'll get all the shine. And, you know, Sacramento could be really good again in like 3 or 4 years with these two guys.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I feel like if this is put into place, there need to be rules so that, you know, teams can't just sign, like, three guys. Or does that take away the fun of this?
Well, I think that's kind of the fun of it. Like you mentioned with the Kings, like, they could honestly turn around their franchise in a singular offseason. Like, say they somehow got Fultz, Tatum, and Justin Pat. Do you know what I mean? And all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, that's a really good three to build around for the future. But, like, how do you determine, like, is it going to be a bidding war, or is there going to be scales? Like, are we going to do, like, all right, these guys are projected to go in the top five if there was a draft, so this is how much the area you could offer them. Do you know what I mean? Because, like I love this draft, right? So, like, I don't want to use this draft as an example, but, like, historically speaking, most NBA drafts, most guys aren't relevant NBA players. Like, the majority of them. Do you know what I mean? So, like, how do you do this so, like, Fultz and Ball and, like, the top X amount of picks are getting their value, and then somebody in the back end who's probably not going to make an NBA roster is not either making nothing or isn't getting wildly overpaid because somebody's infatuated with Alec Peters, for example.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there has to be to tier this. And then, like, are you going to, like, rely on the internet to make a projection system for you? So you could be like, all right, here's the guys we expect to go to top five. So here's the allowing rate you're allowed to offer them, because they're on a rookie wage, like a rookie scale now, and we know what that is based on your slotting of where you're drafted. If you do away with the draft, how do we determine what the rookie wage scale is? Because you're going to really mess up salary cap, and then in theory, it could really hurt the veterans in the league, because you're going to some teams will way overpay for a dude that's going to end up being a role player.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely problems with it. I think it's fun. I don't know that the draft necessarily needs to be fixed. I like the idea of doing something different. I can't help but wonder if this is eventually going to happen, though. I mean, it's just weird how some years, you know, we pick and choose to be upset with the lottery and the draft process. I think it's relatively fair outside of, you know, a player getting stuck somewhere. And obviously now with CBA changes and really over the last few years, you know, the NBA Players Union is trying to make it so that players stay with teams longer. And if I get drafted to the Kings, maybe I don't want to stay with the Kings for 7 years, but they will have, you know, as much control and as much opportunity to make me rich. And I never wanted to go there to begin with. You know, it's weird.
That's a good point.
I like the idea of having a conversation about it and a conversation that, you know, can help not just teams, but help players who want to go elsewhere. And obviously not everybody is Lonzo Ball and is holding out and is talking about what team they want to go to. I mean, it's relatively rare that we see that, so I don't want to pretend that.
But everybody knows he's going to the Lakers. Course. Do you know what I mean? Like, we'll get to that in a bit. Never mind. I'm sorry.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, it's a fair point, and, you know, you constantly hear guys saying it would be a dream to play for the Knicks, it would be a dream to play for the Lakers, and maybe that would really help these organizations who are run really horribly to, you know, kind of land hot prospects. But at the same time, I mean, what if no one ever wants to go play with the Pelicans? What if no one ever wants to go play with the Nets? Right, what if no one wants to go to Milwaukee?
People are going to go where it's nice. Like, the Miami Heat would become the greatest franchise ever.
I would think so, too. I mean, well, the Heat would become good, and obviously you'd get teams that really scout well would definitely have an advantage here because, you know, they could target their guys and not overpay. I would have to imagine the Spurs would just continually rake. Like, some teams, it wouldn't make a difference if they switched from, you know, that draft process to this draft process. I feel like the Spurs would just be, like, out of control.
One question for you. Now, given that I preface this entire conversation, shut up. Oh, I knew as soon as I said it. This whole conversation about, like, how I kind of like the idea of it because I kind of feel like it's not right that these guys don't get a choice. Do you feel like the draft, in all sports, I guess, because it's only in sports, really, is ethical? Like, do you feel like labor laws are being broken?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't know. I don't want this to turn into me being like anti-athlete or anything because that's definitely not my stance at all. I think it's just the type of thing that has been happening for so long and it's all we know, so it's been accepted. And I've never really given it good enough thought to be like, oh, this is wrong. This is unethical. I mean, to extents, I think it makes sense. Like, you're ordering it opposite of how teams finished so that they have a better chance at being good in the future. You know, like, it kind of seems like a fair way to keep things balanced and competitive.
So you're pro-socialism.
Like I mean, I don't know, Joe.
The draft is socialism.
In sports, maybe so. In life, maybe so. I don't know, Joe. I don't want to have that conversation.
I'm sorry. Here's the thing.
What do you think? I mean,
well, because it's an issue that trickles all the way down from when kids are going out of high school and they can't turn pro. And if that's not something... Because I don't know the laws, like, as well as, like, a lawyer would, somebody, like, in the labor law field, but if nobody's, like, if a court never ruled that, like, high school kids have the right to work in the NBA coming out of high school, then I don't think the draft is as unethical either, because somebody by now would have been like, hey, you know what, this seems wrong, let's make a ruling on this, like, outside of sports, like, this brings me up to a whole different other discussion that always bothers me. Like, why do baseball players, basketball players, football players, and hockey players get to punch each other in the face and never get charged with assault?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, I guess sports really does operate in this weird vacuum where, like, almost all laws and rules that apply everywhere else in the world do not apply.
No, you're 100% right. Also, I love that, like, we watch, like, I don't know, 50 episodes of Better Call Saul, and now we're talking about laws and ethics and labor issues.
Better Call Saul, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm worried about Saul right now.
I'm a couple episodes behind. So
I hope
I'll be caught up by the end of like this upcoming week. I think I should be caught up.
You better hurry. We only got a couple more episodes left of the season.
I'll be caught up before the finale. I promise. All right, Joe. Let's wrap up our show and put some poop in the basket.
Seal, you scary faced bastard. Hit the music.
Oh.
Put the poop in the basket. It's a main basket. Put the poop in the basket. It's a main basket. Put the poop in the basket.
come to us.
Why? That's the first time I ever said anything, any kind remotely wrong about Seal.
I don't even think we should say his name.
What's that?
I don't even think we should say his name. I think we should come up with a nickname.
For
and
Seal?
Not anything that has scary faced in it.
You want to call him Walrus? Walrus, hit the music.
Boom, done. I like it. All right, let's stop delaying. Joe, we got some poop to put in the basket here. We were mentioning it before. I don't know that I care that much, but it definitely smells pretty bad. Yesterday, it comes out Danny Ainge is on the radio, I don't know, probably with, you know, WEEI people or whoever you talk to in Boston. I don't think it was actually them. I don't mean to discredit them. But, yeah, Danny Ainge goes on the radio yesterday and reveals that Lonzo Ball will not be working out for the Celtics. In case you forgot, the Celtics have the number one pick in the NBA draft, which is coming up on June 22nd. Shout out to the NBA draft. Lonzo Ball won't work out for the Celtics. He, his father, his family, everybody else dreams that he winds up going to the Lakers. I mean, it's feasible. He could be good enough to be the number two pick. Speaking of number two, Joe, do you think it's poop that Lonzo Ball won't work out for the Celtics?
Nope. Now, I do think he actually fits with Boston really well because, as we see without Isaiah Thomas, they're a lot more, well, they were, a lot better at sharing the basketball. And he's, what he did at UCLA, I know I made this point in previous podcasts, they were an isolation offense this, the year prior. This past season, he comes in and changes the entire offensive culture because of him, the way he plays the game. So I do think he fits there, but I get it. He's from California. He and his father see the money in being in L.A. The Lakers are, like, I know they're a dumpster now, but they're a prestigious franchise. Lonzo probably believes that, like, players would probably want to play with him. I think I'd want to play with him because he's not a shoot-first point guard. Now, he could score in bunches, and I'm really, like, I've said this before as well, like, he's my favorite prospect in this draft, even though everybody else likes Fultz. And some people like a couple players more than they like Paul. But it totally makes sense. Magic Johnson loves Jason Kidd. He's tweeted in the past about comparing Lonzo Ball to Jason Kidd. Lonzo Ball's also kind of like Magic Johnson light. And you know Magic Johnson's like that as well. And Magic Johnson...
Magic Johnson light.
Magic Johnson light.
Magic Johnson light-skinned? I mean, like, what? I don't know, man.
A tall point guard that can shoot and pass. Except he's a better shooter than Magic Johnson coming out of college. Which is factual. Like, that's not
Yeah, statistically speaking, you can't dispute that.
Him and Marcus Fultz have about the same number from behind the three-point line. I love this idea that Lonzo Ball somehow doesn't have a good jumper just because it looks wonky. Like, I know it looks horrible, but his shooting numbers are tremendous. But...
They were, they are, and they will be.
Man, I'm getting mad that you... I said Magic Johnson liked. But, the point being, Magic Johnson loves him.
How do you compare a guy who hasn't played an NBA game to a top five player in the history of the sport, Joe?
Because you compare almost every draft player to every other NBA player that never played a second in the NBA. Like, I mean, like, it's no different than you somebody comparing Lauri Malkin to Dirk Nicholson, Dirk. Like, it's no different. Man. I said Magic Johnson light.
All right, man. All right. That's fine. You can have it.
You were fine with the Jason Kidd comparison?
No, I'm not. I'm not even okay with the Jason
Kidd comparison. Because I didn't make the Jason Kidd comparison. Magic Johnson did. Jerk.
I know. And as soon as you started saying it, I started scoffing. I'm not mad at you, Joe. I don't know. This isn't a thing I want to do. I feel you. Yes, he played in college like Magic Johnson played in the NBA. So
right, our test at St. John's was compared to Magic Johnson. We have this conversation Monday.
Right. Yeah. It's cool, man. It's cool. I'm not mad at you. I said my piece. I digress. I like Lonzo. Obviously, I like Lonzo a lot. I don't know that he would necessarily make the Celtics better. They did have the number two overall assist rate in the NBA last season. They were a top eight offense. I mean, the ball moves around. It's just... You know, Marcus Smart can't shoot, and he takes a bunch of shots on that team. And if it's not Isaiah creating offense in the fourth quarter, it gets kind of ugly. I do think it'd be cool to see Lonzo playing with Isaiah, you know, just the spacing with those two guys. But that said, you know, you put Isaiah and you put Lonzo on the court together, it means you're probably taking Avery Bradley and or Marcus Smart off. And defensively, you're going to be losing a lot with those two on and those two off. So, I mean, I don't know he's the great fit. I do think Fultz is the better prospect of the two of them. Zach Harper actually wrote a little bit yesterday comparing the two and who would fit better with the Celtics. You know, I understand Fultz being the top guy. At the same time, I do think we do discredit Lonzo Ball a lot. I don't know if a lot of it comes from, you know, his dad being who his dad is. You're right. He was a really good shooter last year, and it is kind of ridiculous that we assume he won't be able to shoot just because he has a weird form. I mean, he may not be able to create the same shots he was able to create for himself in college, but at the same time, I mean, this is a guy who's, you know, better at getting other guys involved than he is at getting himself going, and he still averaged 15 points a game on like 56-44 shooting or something. Like, he's a good offensive player any way you cut it. I don't like him limiting himself. I don't like him taking himself out of contention for the one pick. I don't know if it's him or his father, and I think everybody's kind of waiting for something to assassinate Lonzo's character for, and I think this could be it. I mean, we've seen guys do this before, and they tend to get crushed for doing it. So adding, you know, a LeVar Ball into the situation, I think makes him look bad.
Yeah, I guess it makes him look bad, but, like, I don't think anybody thinks the Lakers aren't going to take him. So if he wants to go to L.A., this helps him get there. And I think everybody knows, barring the Celtics trading the number one overall pick, they're going to take Fultz. So, like, why go work out for a team that's not going to take you, when the second team, the one you want to go to, is going to take you? So I don't think it's that right. big of a deal. Like, I understand the theory. Like, I know Darren Lavelle or Richard Deitch, or one of the tools on Twitter, said, like, LeVar Ball is costing his son $2.3 million, blah, 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 by not having work with the Celtics. The Celtics aren't taking him. Do you know what I mean? So he's not costing himself anything. So
right.
Now, if the argument is the Celtics might trade the number one overall pick, which opens up the Lonzo Ball thing, that's fine. But if the Celtics trade the number one overall pick, it won't be the Celtics picking that one, so it doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a fair point. I don't know that he's the no-brainer pick for the Lakers. I really don't. I like a lot of the guys in this draft as I was.
So do I, but you got to think like Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson's winner guy, Magic Johnson's... If you're in LA, if you're a California guy, you're going to be a Laker guy. He's
totally.
He totally sees Lonzo Ball and thinks of Showtime Lakers and thinks of, like, in Magic Johnson's head, this is, like, I can just imagine sitting at home, Magic Johnson, watching Lonzo Ball clips going, yeah. Showtime Lakers.
Yeah, definitely. The stars align. The stars 100% align for Lonzo. But do you think the fact that it's the Lakers picking two, we know everything we know about him wanting to go to the Lakers, you know, and him really not being that number one overall prospect, that makes this a little bit more palatable, the fact that he's saying, I don't want to go to a team? Because, I mean, like I said, guys get crushed for doing this. Do you think it's
Who gets crushed?
I mean, if we're going to go back, Eli Manning got crushed for doing this.
Did he get crushed?
Got crushed for
I don't remember Eli getting crushed.
He still does. He still does
get crushed. Did John Elway get crushed? Baby because he,
yeah, I mean, he did. They made
you weren't even alive. You don't know if he was crushed or not.
I mean, and now we crush people more because it's 2017. Like, I'm asking, do you think that it makes it, you know, less bad because of everything we know about the Lakers being there at two and him wanting to go to the Lakers? Or is this as bad as everybody else that's been like, no, don't pick me?
Well, let's be honest. It's going to be as bad because that's the way people work. And that's how social media works. No matter what he did, it'd be the worst thing ever.
Well, and also it's LeVar.
He could donate $80,000 to a child's charity. He'll be like, well, he's set to make a couple million. Why can't it be 150 grand? That's the way everything works now. Like, there's no right way to do anything anymore. Like, I'm going to plug it because I'll go live later, but I wrote about Diallo, the kid from Kentucky, returning. And yesterday on Twitter, people were getting mad because it took him a long time to make his mind up. Because the NBA draft withdrawal deadline at midnight, and he was the last one to decide. And all he was trying to do was get as much, basically, he was told he could go from 16 to back end of the second round. So he had a wide range of air to work with. Like, if he knew he was going in the first round, he was probably going. But he didn't know that. He was told, basically, hey, you're either getting a guaranteed contract with a lot of millions, or you're not. And so, like, he was trying to weigh his options and all that stuff. And, like, no matter what, just, like, people were killing him on Twitter. We're not even making the decision.
Who really cares enough? Who does this impact that a kid wants to, you know, figure out what's the best decision?
People on Twitter, apparently. I saw it all day yesterday. I tapped out around 6 or 7 at night, and people were mad. And, like, John Calipari, who has the most invested in the kid, wasn't mad. He said he was going to be proud either way, and he was proud that he took his time, and he asked NBA teams questions. And it's like, people are mad at the kid for gathering information to make the best choice possible. Boo Shout you, teenager, for making a good, educated decision. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
I hate people. Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
Joe, I think that's a great way to end our show, because I, too, hate people. With that said, we love you all, and we hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Is it
Joe,
Memorial Day weekend?
You doing anything fun for the holiday besides dumpster diving?
I forgot. So, yeah, my wife asked me if I wanted to do something on Sunday. My friend's having a party about 15 minutes away. My neighbor asked, I guess, and I said no. I don't want to do anything. What about you? You're on vacation, so what are you doing?
There he is. Yeah, we're hanging out, man. We're up at my wife's lake house up near Lake George, and got a weekend of activities and fun and maybe some mischief. I don't know.
Are you going to play shuffleboard?
You're not going to play shuffleboard. We're on a lake, Joe. Where the hell am I going to play shuffleboard on a lake?
The shuffleboard board?
Fair enough.
You're on a lake. I like how you said your wife's, like, you sound so elitist right now. My wife's lake house. We're on a lake, Joe.
Yeah, we're on a lake. Get with it. Get out of your dumpster. See me in my lake. All right, that's a great way to end the show. We will be back on Monday, and we will further discuss what we did for Memorial Day weekend. Thank you guys so much for listening. You could follow me on Twitter at jmintshoops. Catch my basketball writing at fanragsports.com. I actually wrote yesterday about Lonzo Ball not being a great fit with the Celtics. Joe, tell the people where they could find you.
Read Jared's piece. I'm going to read it as soon as we're done with this. You can find me on Twitter at Joseph Cardone, A-R-D-O-N-D. You can find me at fanragsports.com. Mike Francis, whatever your name is, you're a serial killer. Stay away from Jared's wife's lake house.
All around me are familiar websites, worn out clickbait, worn out hot takes. Bright and early for the daily link dumps. No one's clicking, no one's clicking. Their pupils are filling up their pockets, but not for writers. Not for writers. Hide my head, I want to do a slideshow. No tomorrow, no tomorrow. And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The internet in which I'm worthless is the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it too hot to take. When people blog in circles, it's a very, very mad world. Mad world.